الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And then he told his son,
وكذلك يجتبيك ربك ويعلمك من تأويل الأحاديث ويتم
Thus will your Lord, and all of these things he's deriving from this dream. Thus will your Lord choose you. Allah will choose you. And teach you the interpretation of dreams and other things. Ta'wil ahadith. Ta'wil is interpretation. Ahadith are speeches, words, dreams, different things. So it doesn't necessarily mean only dreams. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give Yusuf wisdom to interpret things. To have a good judgment. And will perfect his favor on you and on the offspring of Yaqub as he perfected it on your fathers Ibrahim and Ishaq aforetime. Verily your Lord is all-knowing, all-wise. Some men came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they told him, "Man akramun nas?" Who is the most noble of men? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Yusuf, Al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim. It is Yusuf, the noble, the son of the noble, the son of the noble, the son of the noble. If you're asking me about the best lineage, it is Yusuf. The father of Yusuf is a prophet. His grandfather is a prophet, and his great-grandfather is a prophet, and he's a prophet himself. That's the best lineage if you want to look at it this way. Yusuf, Ibn Yaqub, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim, alayhi salam. It's an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a prophet, and your father is a prophet, and your grandfather is a prophet, and your great-grandfather is a prophet. Wherever you look up, you find the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An honor from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us,
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ
Verily in Yusuf and his brethren, there were ayat for those who ask. If you look at the story of Yusuf and you think about it, you would find in it an ocean of meanings and lessons that will assist you in your life. The brothers of Yusuf knew that their father loved him more than them. 10 of them were from different mother or mothers. And Yusuf and Binyamin were from another wife of Sayyidina Yaqub. Yusuf was the most beloved in the eyes of his father. And these brothers disliked that. And they were jealous. And we said that jealousy blinds the heart. They said,
إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ.
They said, our father is in plain error. Why? Because he loves Yusuf more than us. We are the men. We are the elders. We are the strongest. We are a group. We are the ones who are going to help our father in moments of need. How can he love this Yusuf and his brother who are young and alone? I mean, in those times, what protects you is your family. Didn't have laws and law enforcement and police to take care of security. You protect yourself through your family. And that's why they used to be proud whenever they have a lot of family members. The bigger your family member, the stronger you become. So they said, وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. We are the men who are strong. How can our father love Yusuf more than us? And then they accused their father of being in error, ضلال, misguided. And this is not the right thing to say about your father, that your father is misguided. And you know that your father is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because of jealousy. The brothers of Yusuf made a plan to kill, assassinate their brother. Look at how jealousy made their thinking crooked. The small issue of the love of their father to Yusuf became very big in their eyes. And the big issue of killing a human soul became very small and significant. It's all because of jealousy. So jealousy made them see this little more love that Yaqub has to his son. It's just a little bit more love because he loves them all. All of them are his children. But just because he loves them, loves Yusuf a little bit more, they saw that as a great deal, a big thing. And it obsessed them and overwhelmed them and overtook their thinking. But then killing a human being is something normal and small. Why? Because of jealousy. اقتلوا يوسف, kill him. أو اطرحوه أرضا, or throw him out in a far land. يخلو لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. Your father would give you the favors alone, and after that you would be righteous folks. They intended to make tawbah before making the sin. They said, we're going to kill him, and then we're going to make tawbah. One of them, who was the softest among them, he said, no, don't kill Yusuf. Instead, throw him in the well. One of them said, kill not Yusuf, but if you must do something, throw him down to the bottom of a well. He will be picked up by some caravan of travelers. So they made the deal that they're going to throw him in a well. And then whenever somebody would come and take water from that well, they're going to pick up Yusuf and they're going to carry him with them, and we're going to get rid of him that way. Let's not kill him. So they went to the father and they said, oh, our father, why don't you trust us with Yusuf? We're strong men. We'll take care of him. Let him come out and play with us. Yaqub was so protective of his son. He would not let him go out and play with them. He is always with him. He used to love his son so much. They said, oh, our father, why do you not trust us with Yusuf when we are indeed his well-wishers? Send him with us tomorrow to enjoy himself and play. Verily, we will take care of him. قَالَ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذَبِيُوا بِيُوسُفِ. He said, truly, it saddens me that you should take him away from me. Yaqub, alayhi salam, loves his son so much, he can't even stand letting his son go out for a day. I would feel sorrow. I would feel sad if you take away Yusuf from me. He used to love his son so much. One day is too much for him. He can't let go of his son for a day. And then he said, وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ ذِئْبُ وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ. I fear lest a wolf should devour him while you are careless of him. So they picked up this from their father, and then they used it. The father said, I'm worried that a wolf would kill him. These brothers were so much in a hurry to get rid of Yusuf, they didn't even have time to perfect their plan, so they picked up this word of their father. They took out Yusuf with them to go out and play. They threw him in a well. And then they took his clothes. and they slaughtered a small goat. And they poured the blood of that goat on his clothes. And then they went back to their father, crying. And they said, our father, the wolf ate him. He told them, I'm afraid that the wolf will eat him. They said, okay, let's say that the wolf ate him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so when they took him away, they all agreed to throw him down to the bottom of the well. When they were throwing him in the well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Yusuf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Yusuf, and we inspired in him, indeed you shall one day inform them of this affair while they know you not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Yusuf, one day you would tell your brothers about this event and they would not know that it is you who's speaking to them. Allah is telling Yusuf about something, but Yusuf does not know the details of it. When it will happen, it's a prophecy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired to Sayyidina Yusuf. And they came to their fathers in the early part of the night, weeping. They were crying. They were crying. They said, our father, we went racing with one another and left Yusuf by our belongings and a wolf devoured him, but you will never believe us even when we speak the truth. Once one of the Muslim judges, an old woman came to him in a case. And she was crying so much, crying and crying and crying. The judge ruled against her. So then the friend of the judge said, she's crying so much, she must be telling the truth. Why didn't you believe her? He said, didn't you read in Quran that the brothers of Yusuf came to their father at night crying? Crying is not a sign of innocence. Crying is not a sign of truth. You could cry while you're lying. So over here the brothers of Yusuf, they came back home crying, but they are the ones who committed the crime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why? And they brought his shirt stained with false blood. He said, nay, this is Yaqub, nay, but your own selves have made up a tale. He knew that they're lying, so patience is most fitting, and it is Allah alone whose help can be sought against that which you assert. I mean, what is he going to do? Is he going to kill his sons? This is a dilemma for the father. Is he going to kill his sons? So he said, Sabrun Jamil, I will have patience. And Allah al-Musta'an, I would seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf was in the well. A caravan of travelers passed by. فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ They sent somebody to go and get water for them. So he inserted the bucket in the well, and Yusuf clung to the bucket. And this man is pulling up the bucket, looking forward to get some water. He finds in there a child. He said, يَا بُشْرَى هَذَا غُلَامٌ He was so happy. Why? Because this is a fortune. In those times, slaves would get you a lot of money. So they felt that they are going to sell this young child, and it's a very good deal for them. So they picked him up, took him with them in their caravan, and they went to Egypt. And they sold him in Egypt. They sold him for a good price. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And they sold him for a low price. Why? Even though they got a good deal for Yusuf. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's a low price because they never knew who was in their hands. They don't know who is the one they sold. They don't know who this child will grow up to be. And if they would have sold him with his weight in gold, that would have been a cheap price. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ And they were of those who regarded him as insignificant. They didn't know who he was. This is the ghaib in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unseen.
وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِنْ مِصْرَ امْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَى
And he, the man from Egypt who bought him, said to his wife, Make his stay comfortable. Maybe he will profit us or we shall adopt him as a son. One of the Salaf, he says, Three persons had a very, very good farasa. Farasa is the ability to foresee an event or to look in the future. He said, one of them is this man in Egypt. He bought Yusuf, and he said, maybe one day he will benefit us. Maybe this man will have a future. The second is the daughter of the man in Madian, who went to her father and said, استأجر إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. Hire him to work for you, because the best man you could hire is the strong and trustworthy. She was speaking about who? Musa. And the third one is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq when he appointed Umar ibn al-Khattab to be the Khalifa. They said these are the three men who had the best farasa, the best vision ahead.
وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلِيُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ
Thus did we establish Yusuf in the land, that we might teach him the interpretation of events. Yusuf, alayhi salam, went through slavery, and was bought and sold, and went through this difficulty in his life. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to establish him on earth. لِلْتَمْكِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting this ummah in difficulty. Why? To prepare them. To prepare them for their establishment in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in difficulty. Why? So that one day they will be prepared and ready for the establishment on the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Musa through misery and difficulty. And we're going to talk about the amazing story of Musa. The difficulty that he went through. And the struggling and the striving. Why? So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Thus did we establish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling this establishment. Because he got to Egypt, even though he was a slave, but that was establishment for him in the future. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And we teach him the interpretation of events. Yusuf is living through a life experience so that he would develop knowledge and experience. He's going through a lot. And notice that Yusuf, alayhi salam, where is he being trained now? He's been trained in the house of Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz is like the prime minister in modern terms. Not only the prime minister, but it's even stronger than that because it's also the treasurer in the same time. The second most important post after the king. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Yusuf in that environment, even though he's a slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting him in the decision-making center. He is close to these events to learn, to gain experience. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put Musa where? In the house of Fir'aun. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. And Allah has full power and control over his affairs. The brothers of Yusuf thought that they had control over affairs and they're going to get rid of him. But as soon as they put Yusuf in the well, the matter is out of their hands. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of Yusuf. And things are going to turn around against them. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of the men know not. And among these men who know not are the brothers of Yusuf. Yusuf grew up in the house of Al-Aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا.
And when he, Yusuf, attained his full manhood, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. Thus we reward the doers of the good. حُكْمًا and ilma. Hukm is judgment and ilm is knowledge. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say hukm only? Or why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say ilm only? These are two different things. Good judgment and knowledge. And Allah gave Yusuf both. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said we have given him knowledge only, knowledge could mean that you memorize a lot of Qur'an, you know a lot of ahadith, but if you don't have a good processing of that information, if you don't have good judgment, you can't really do much with it. And we find that there are people who have a lot of knowledge with them, but they're limited in their ability to take advantage of it. And they're limited in their ability to make use of it. Good judgment, hukmah, is the ability to judge events. The correct estimation and assessment of things. You look at something and you have wisdom in the way you assess that event and the way you analyze it and the way you deal with it and act upon it. And that is a skill, and knowledge is something else. When you put these together, you get the perfect personality. Good judgment and knowledge together. And that is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Anbiya. It is the fahm and the understanding in the deen. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رُبَّ حَامِ الْفِقْهِ إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَهْ مِنْهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about, maybe you are carrying fiqh, you are delivering fiqh to somebody who understands it more than you. An example of that, Imam Abu Hanifa was sitting in his halaqah, in his circle, and the way of Imam Abu Hanifa in teaching was unique among the four scholars. With Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, he used to have a council. So he would present an issue for debate. And they would discuss it, and then they would give opinions, and then he would make a final verdict. With the other three imams, they are the ones who would give the verdict, and everybody in front of them is a student. When you're sitting in the halaqah of Imam Malik, you are a student. You don't argue with Imam Malik. You take from him. With Imam Abu Hanifa, it was different. He had, for example, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan and Abu Yusuf. We don't call them students of Abu Hanifa, we call them as-sahiban, the two friends or companions. Even though they were students of Abu Hanifa, but we don't call them students because they used to be a council with him, which he would discuss affairs with. Anyway, there was one scholar of hadith who used to sit in this council of Imam Abu Hanifa. He recited a hadith. He recited the hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa did not know that hadith. He did not have that knowledge. A woman came and asked the scholar of hadith who was sitting in the meeting of Abu Hanifa a question. She asked him a question. That scholar of hadith said, Allahu A'lam, I don't know the answer. Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa said, I know the answer. So the scholar of hadith said, oh Imam, how did you know the answer? He said, I knew the answer from the hadith you just recited. So this is an example of somebody who is carrying the knowledge, but did not know how to implement it. While Imam Abu Hanifa did not have it, but when he had it, he knew how to use it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Yusuf alayhi salam both, hukum and ilm, good judgment on events and knowledge. And this is something very important for anybody in a position of leadership. It's not enough to have knowledge, and it's not good only to have good judgment. You need to have both to be an effective and successful leader. There is an Islamic state that happened in North Africa a few centuries ago. This Islamic state was established by ulama, and they implemented the Sharia. And it was one of the honors of the Islamic history. When the scholars analyzed the reasons of the downfall of that Islamic state, they say one of the reasons is because these scholars lost touch with the reality of the world around them. They had a lot of knowledge, but they lost touch with the reality of the world. They were too much busy studying the details of fiqh and tafri'at al-fiqhiyya, and they lost touch with the world around them, and that was one of the reasons why that state fell and was overtaken. Even though they were establishing Sharia and they were scholars, there's no doubt in their righteousness. Yusuf alayhi salam grew up in the house of Al-Aziz. One of the Islamic scholars gives an estimate of the age of Yusuf when he was adopted. He says he was about maybe 14 years old. Because ghulam, when they have taken him from the well and they said ghulam, that is usually the age of a ghulam. Older than that is called fata. And he says that balagha ashuddahu would mean 25 years old, even though there's a difference in opinion on what is balagha ashudda. We can give an estimate that the wife of Al-Aziz at that time was about 40 years old. Because if they have adopted Yusuf when he was 14, and let's say that she was maybe 30 years old, because her husband was already the Aziz, and usually to have a position of that status, you might be 40 years old. So by the time Yusuf grows up to be 25, she might have been at that time 40 years old. The wife of Al-Aziz presented herself to Sayyidina Yusuf. And she, in whose house he was, sought to seduce him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ And she closed the doors. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ And she said, come on you. She tried to sleep with him by force. She brought him into that room, closed the doors, presented herself to him, and wanted to force him to commit the act of zina.
قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ
He said, I seek refuge in Allah.
إِنَّهُ رَبِّي
Truly, your husband is my master and he made my stay agreeable.
إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ
I will never betray him because the wrongdoers will never be successful. Subhanallah. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ I seek refuge in Allah. Your husband, so first of all, look at this. First of all, he's not stopping her in his confidence in his own self. He's asking Allah to help him. Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah. Oh Allah, help me. And then he said, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ Your husband is my master and he has been very well with me. He has treated me very well. Look at the gratitude that Sayyidina Yusuf had. Even though he was a slave, and this was a slave master, he did not have any hatred against him. In fact, he viewed him as somebody who needs to be respected because he dealt with him in a very good and respectable way. And then he said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ The ones who betray and the ones who do wrong, they can never be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ رَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ.
And indeed, she did desire him, and he would have inclined to her desire had he not seen the evidence of his Lord. She desired him. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. And he had also this hem. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Her desire, she was acting upon it. Her desire was in her heart, but she was acting upon it. This idea passed through his heart, but he did not act upon it. And we know from the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ says, if you make the intention to do evil, and then you do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write it down against you as one evil deed. And if you think about doing evil, but then you do not do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write it as a good deed. So the thought itself passed through the heart of Yusuf alayhi salam. But he did not act upon it, and he shut that door, and he sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he drove it out of his heart, and he refused. In itself, what I'm presenting to you now, a fact that a beautiful woman presents herself to a man, that in itself is difficult. Now let's look at the other elements and variables in this situation that would even complicate it further. Number one, this woman was extremely beautiful, and she was wealthy, and she was his master. So she has the power to force him, and if he does not obey her, she can punish him. Number two, we cannot believe that she resorted to such extreme measures suddenly in that moment. No, a woman will not resort to using force except if she has exhausted all other means. She must have tried everything possible before she started using force. And imagine this, because Sayyidina Yusuf was living with her. So Sayyidina Yusuf, it wasn't a spur of the moment. Sayyidina Yusuf was going through this pain and fitna for a long time. He has been presented to this seduction for a very, very long period. Because she will not act this way, shut the doors and try to force him, except if she has tried all other means before and they didn't work. So she must have been doing this for months or maybe even years. This is the complication of the situation, because it's difficult to stop it, even if it's a spur of the moment thing. But it makes it even much, much more difficult to stop if you have been going through this for years. And you are living with her in the same house, seeing her day and night. And they are the one who are feeding you and taking care of you, and there's interaction. And he had samud, he had persistence, and he was able to stop this fitna and say, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Sayyidina Yusuf is the leader of the ones who come under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُمْ رَأَهْ ذَاتَ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافَ اللَّهِ. A man who was called by a woman, ذَاتَ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ, beauty and position. And he says, I fear Allah. This woman had hasab, she had position. She had wealth, she had mal, she had beauty, she had everything. And Sayyidina Yusuf was able to stand against this sea of seduction and stop it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كَذَٰلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ.
We might turn away from him evil and illegal sexual intercourse. Surely he was one of our chosen guided slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he had ikhlas. And he was chosen. She wouldn't accept that answer from him. So she tried to force him. He ran out of the room and opened the door and tried to leave, and she grabbed him by his shirt in the back and tried to pull him back, and his shirt was torn apart. That moment, her husband walked in the room.
واستبق الباب وقدت قميصه من دبر وألف يا سيدها لدى الباب.
So they raced with one another to the door, and she tore his shirt from the back. They both found their Lord. Lord here means husband. قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوء. Look at how she changed the story. She said, what is the recompense for him who intended an evil design against your wife? What will the punishment be of a man who intended evil against your wife? Immediately she was able to pronounce that word. A reaction that was sudden, and this happened in front of Yusuf alayhi salam. Clear lie in front of him. And then she إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْجِدَنَا أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And then she gave suggestions for the punishment. Not only said what punishment should he give him, but she gave suggestions. What did she say? Except that he be put in prison or a painful torment. She didn't say kill him. She did not say kill him. Because she doesn't want him to be killed. She said put him in jail or punish him. But she did not suggest killing him.
قال هي راودتني عن نفسي.
Yusuf said, it is she that sought to seduce me. Now how could you solve this problem? Yusuf is saying something and the wife is saying something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment sent one of their relatives. So he came and he said, I will tell you, how can we tell the truth? If the shirt of Yusuf is torn from the front, then she is telling the truth. If the shirt of Yusuf is torn from the back, then she is lying. Because if the shirt is torn from the front, it means that Yusuf was attacking her and she was fighting him, so his shirt was torn. If the shirt is torn from the back, it means that she was running after him trying to grab him. So it's a very wise suggestion. His shirt was torn from the back, so she was lying. So when he saw his shirt torn at the back, he said, surely it is a plot of you woman. Certainly mighty is your plot. And then the husband told Yusuf,
Yusuf, أعرض عن هذا.
Oh Yusuf, turn away from this. Meaning ignore it. Don't speak about it as if nothing happened. Let's not cause this problem to be known to anyone. And they don't want any of this to leak. They don't want a scandal. It will be a political scandal for them. So he told Yusuf, don't speak about it. As if it never happened. It's a cover-up. And then he told his wife, ask forgiveness for your sin. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. Verily you were of the sinful. We can find the sense of spoilness in this response of Al-Aziz. And this is common among the high class when they become corrupt. He told Yusuf, forget about this. And then he told his wife, can you please ask Allah to forgive you? And that was the end of the story. There's no real jealousy in that man. He said, وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكَ. Ask Allah to forgive you. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنْ الْخَاطِئِينَ. You were of those who were sinful. But the high-class society, they have a lot of spare time. And the women get together and they gossip. Some women from this particular level, the luxurious, extravagant, rich and famous of the high class, they knew somehow of the event that happened. And they knew that the wife of Aziz has love to her slave. So they started speaking about that. And woman in the city said, the wife of Al-Aziz is seeking to seduce her slave young man. قَدْ شَغَفَ حُبَّا. Indeed, she loves him violently. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. We see her in plain error. I mean, how could she desire a slave? And gossip was going around and the news is spreading from one meeting and club to another. So the wife of Al-Aziz wanted to teach them a lesson. She invited these women and then she gave them some fruits. She gave them knives. And then she told them to start eating, so they would cut the fruits with the knives. And she had already prepared her slave, Yusuf. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Yusuf had one half of the beauty. Yusuf, there was no one more handsome than him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I saw him in a sama, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the trip of al-Mi'raj. Rasulullah said, وَرَأَيْتُ يُوسف وَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُوتِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ. I saw Yusuf and he had half of the beauty. Ibn Mas'ud later would say that whenever Yusuf would deal with any woman, he would cover his face. The interpreters of this hadith, they say it could either mean that Yusuf had half of the beauty of the world, or it could mean that Yusuf had half of the beauty of who? Adam. Adam alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam with his own hands, and the scholar said that was the best form of human beings. So Yusuf had half of the beauty of Adam. So they started eating and she made Yusuf walk in front of them. Yusuf walked in front of these women. They were cutting these fruits and they looked up and they saw Yusuf walking and they kept on staring at Yusuf and the knife is moving until it started cutting through their flesh and cutting their fingers. And when Yusuf passed away, they realized that they have cut their own hand. And they said, then when they saw him, they exalted him at his beauty, and in their astonishment cut their hands. They said, how perfect is Allah? No man is this. This is none other than a noble angel. So this cannot be a man. This is an angel. Now they understood what the wife of Aziz is going through. So she told them,
وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمْرُهُ لَيَسْجُنَنَّ
She said, "This is he, the young man, about whom you did blame me for his love, and I did seek to seduce him, but he refused. And now if he refuses to obey my order, he shall certainly be cast into prison, and he will be one of those who are disgraced." She is still running after him and threatening him. And the women who saw him now were all encouraging him to obey his master. They were telling him, "She is your master, you have to obey her." So now the pressure is not only from the wife of Al-Aziz, but the pressure is from all these other women who saw him. Now things are becoming very, very difficult and painful and distressful on Sayyidina Yusuf. He's going through fitna. And his life is distressful. He is living in a big prison. A prison of fitna. All around him is fitna. Seduction is surrounding him from every side. So Yusuf said,
"Qala Rabbi as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayhi."
He said, "Oh my Lord, prison is more to my liking than that which they invite me to." Now for Yusuf, living in prison is easier than living out of prison. What he's going through out of prison, outside of prison, is worse. He said, "Oh Allah, take me to jail. At least I will be away from this fitna. It's better for me." SubhanAllah, Yusuf is doing all of this to keep away from one of the most powerful, seducing things that could affect a man. Not only is it the beauty and the lust and the encouragement of the woman and the society and the environment that Yusuf is living in, but he's also being coerced and forced to commit this act of zina. Yusuf said, "Oh Allah, take me to jail. Going to jail is better for me than responding to what they want me to do." And then he said, "Unless you turn away their plot from me, I will feel inclined towards them and be one of those who commit the sin and one of those who are ignorant." He said, "Oh Allah, if you do not take away this from me, I am weak. I am weak and I'm going to fall into this." An admission from Sayyidina Yusuf of his weakness. We are weak. We should never think that we're strong. Our strength comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a dua that we should say in environments like this, which are similar to the environment of Yusuf alayhi salam. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنْ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. "Oh Allah, unless you turn away their plot from me, I will feel inclined towards them and be one of the ignorants." So his Lord answered his invocation and turned away from him their plot. Verily he is the all-hear and the all-knower.
ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوْا الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينٍ.
Then it appeared to them after they had seen the proofs of his innocence to imprison him for a time. Now the news is spread. It's a scandal now. How can they solve the problem? By taking the innocent to jail. Instead of stopping the wife of Al-Aziz, they took the Nabi of Allah, Yusuf, and they put him in jail. He was oppressed and put in jail even though he was innocent. There were two men who were with him in jail. And these two men saw a dream. One of them saw a dream in which he's pressing wine. And the other one saw a dream in which he's carrying on his head some bread, and there are some birds who are eating from that bread. They said, because we see that you are of those who are righteous, we want you to tell us the interpretation of this dream. Yusuf alayhi salam told them, no food will come to you, but I will inform you its interpretation before it comes. Mufassirin have different opinions about this. One of them is that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam told them, I will tell you the interpretation of the dream before your next meal is served. Before your next meal is served, you will have the interpretation of the dream. And then notice the personality of the da'iyah, the preacher to Islam. They asked him a question about an interpretation of a dream. He said, ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. Now, this is number two. Number one, he told them, طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِ. Before you receive your next meal, but he said, تُرْزَقَانِهِ. It is rizq from Allah. So he's driving some concepts to them. So number one, he's telling them that this food that you will receive is from Allah.
ذَلِكُمَا
That is of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught me. Meaning I'm not going to tell you the interpretation of the dream from my own knowledge and skills. This is knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught me. So he's giving credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three. I have abandoned the religion of a people that believe not in Allah. Now what does this have to do with interpretation of the dreams? This is pure da'wah that he's delivering to these people. He said, I have left the religion of the people who disbelieve in Allah. He's talking about the religion that they're following. He said, I have abandoned that religion. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And they disbelieve in the akhirah. So he's establishing in them the belief in Allah and the belief in Akhirah. Because there is no religion that was revealed to a Nabi except that it has in it a pillar of faith, which is Akhirah. And then, number five, he said,
وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي
have followed the religion of my fathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Ya'qub. Why did he tell them that I followed the religion of my fathers? Ibrahim alayhi salam was the caller of truth, of tawheed in that time. He was the believer. And the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was among his children. It wasn't widespread. So the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam were famous that they were the family of Islam. The people in Egypt have heard about the news of Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub and the religion of Tawheed. So Yusuf is telling them about it. He's telling them, this is the religion that I follow. So he's telling them, I'm following the religion of my fathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub, because they were the representations of Tawheed. They were the representations of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was among this blessed family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Number 6. And never could we attribute any partners whatsoever to Allah. The people in Egypt at that time knew the concept of Allah, but they knew it in a form of shirk. Because we will find throughout the story of Yusuf that they knew about Allah. Because we talked about Al-Aziz is telling his wife, وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكَ, ask Allah to forgive your sin. So they knew about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they knew about Him. They were attributing other gods with Him like the people of Quraysh. They knew about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they used to believe in other idols and gods. And then he said, Number 7, this is from the grace of Allah to us and to mankind. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ But most of mankind do not thank. Yusuf is saying that this message of Tawheed is a blessing of Allah on us, and it's a blessing of Allah on all mankind. Because Ibrahim a.s. was calling everyone to Islam, so it's a blessing on everyone. The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing for everyone. This is an introduction. And then he came to interpret the dream. But he gave them another introduction before he interpreted the dream. They asked him a straight question. Tell us the interpretation of this dream. What was his answer? He said, Ya sahibi al-sijn, O companions of the prison. And look at the choice of words. Ya sahibi al-sijn, O companions. He's taking them as companions and friends. He's having a social relation with them. Some closeness. Ya sahibi al-sijn. A very soft way of speaking to them. O companions of jail, you're my companions. And then he sends a question to them.
Ya sahibi al-sijn, a'arbabun mutafarriqun khayrun am Allahul wahidul qahhar?
Are many different gods better or Allah the one, the irresistible? He's not telling them straightly Allah is better. He's asking them a question to make them use their mind. It is obvious because, why is he asking this particular question? Because it is obvious to the human intellect and the human mind and the human heart that there is only one God. Allah is Al-Qahhar. Al-Qahhar means He is the one who is overwhelming and dominant over everything. So all of these other gods that you are establishing besides Allah, they have no power. No power whatsoever. So he asked them this question. And then he's giving them the answer. He gave them the question so that they would think. And he's preparing them to receive the next piece of information that he will give them. He told them,
أنتم وآباؤكم
You do not worship besides him, but only names which you have forged, you and your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. Asma, names. What is a name? A name is an abstract thing. Unless it is, the name itself has no value. It is the substance which you are naming that has the value. Yusuf is telling them that these gods have no substance. They don't even exist. There's nothing behind it. It's just a name. It's just a label. There's nothing behind it. Asma wa sammaytumuha. These are names you forged with your fathers before. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not instruct or command us to do this. And then he said, the command is for none but Allah. Al-hukm. The governance and the rule and the command belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our affairs. In everything. We need to realize that we are following an incomplete form of Islam today. We're following a brand of Islam that is missing the Sharia. The Sharia is left out. We are following a certain aspect of Islam, which is the daily rituals of ibadah, and some things that we do in the masjid, and some very little akhlaq that we have, and that's it. But we're missing the sharia, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're missing the important akhlaq, we're missing the way of dealing in business, we're missing all of this. And if we do not have the intention to bring it back, and if we do not strive and struggle to do so, then we are guilty of following an incomplete form of Islam. And the only excuse we would have in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is if we strive and struggle to bring back the complete form of Islam. If we do that, then we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for this shortcoming. Yusuf is saying, إِنَ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. All command belongs to Allah. Do we follow the commandments of Allah in business? Do we follow the commandments of Allah in criminal law? Do we follow the commandments of Allah in international law? Do we follow the commandments of Allah in politics? Do we follow the commandments of Allah in economics? Do we follow the commandments of Allah in social laws? If we're leaving all of this out, what are we following? And then Yusuf is telling them the justification. Why the rule should belong to Allah? Because he says, he has ordered you to worship none but him. So this is part of worship. The reason why hukm should belong to Allah is because it is part of worship. And if we are not worshiping Allah in the laws of social life and politics and economics, that means we are taking other gods besides Allah. And that's why when Uday ibn Hatim walked in, Rasulullah ﷺ saw a cross hanging on his chest. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They have taken their priests and their rabbis, gods besides Allah. Uday ibn Hatim said, no, we do not worship our priests. He was a Christian who had a cross hanging on his chest. Rasulullah ﷺ said, didn't your priests make the halal haram and the haram halal? He said, yes. He said, that is worshipping them. If you give a human being the authority to say that the halal is haram and the haram is halal, you have taken him as a god besides Allah. And that is what we have done in a lot of aspects of our life. Actually, the major portion of our life, we have given the authority to man. And we have taken it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Yusuf is telling them, إِلَى الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commandment belongs to him, and Allah has instructed you to worship none but him.
ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
That is the true religion. That is the true religion. If you want the true religion, that is the true religion. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most men know not. صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.